NBC Monitor News on the hour. Here's Neil Boggs.
Washington is reported convinced now that it was Ernesto Che Guevara who was slain in Bolivia this week. Although there still is no official statement, Bolivia is said to have submitted evidence which U.S. officials consider positive proof. The final convincing factor is understood to be fingerprint identification sent to Washington for further examination. It also has been pointed out that some of the U.S. military specialists who are in Bolivia training anti-guerrilla fighters were in position to make on-the-spot verification. Negotiators are busy again in Detroit trying to get the 39-day-old United Auto Workers strike against Ford Motor Company ended. The news blackout on the negotiations continues. There have been some hopeful indications of progress. A new company proposal and a union counterproposal are said to be the current discussion topics. UAW President Walter Reuther was smiling as he led the union negotiating team in for this afternoon session, but he would say nothing about how things look. In Pittsburgh, representatives of the seven states affected by the strike by independent steel haulers are trying again to reach a settlement formula. The trucking companies involved are reported near agreement on a new settlement proposal. The Teamsters Union and the striking drivers are not taking part in the meeting, but are said to be keeping in touch with what's going on. North Vietnam charged today that increased American ground and air activity along Vietnam's demilitarized zone is further evidence of a U.S. plan to escalate the war. The U.S. Marine outpost just south of the DMZ at Con Tien was the scene of heavy fighting today after an attack against it by a North Vietnamese force. 21 Marines were killed and several more wounded before the attackers were pushed back. How many the enemy lost is not known. Russia, meantime, reportedly is pushing a new plan with the long-range idea of getting American forces out of Vietnam. The Soviet embassy in Washington is distributing propaganda material calling for neutralization of South Vietnam. Neutralization would include the withdrawal of all foreign troops. The next step, the Russians say, would be negotiations to reunify North and South Vietnam. The neutrality proposal was first put forth by the chief representative in Hanoi of South Vietnam's National Liberation Front, the Viet Cong. The North Vietnamese also are doing some new propagandizing of their own. A report from Ron Nesson, NBC News, Hong Kong.
The communist side in the Vietnam War has its heroes, too, and today the Viet Cong announced medals have been awarded to 47 guerrillas. For instance, Nguyen Van Bay was given the Valiant Destroyer of Yanks Award for blowing up an American armored car and himself with it after he was captured. To Thai Nguyen, a girl also killed in battle, was decorated for becoming a guerrilla at 16 and killing or wounding 100 American and South Vietnamese troops. Nguyen Van Quang, another dead Viet Cong, supposedly cut off his own arm after it was broken in battle and continued to fire his machine gun with his other arm. Duan Van Chia was cited for training hornets to attack American soldiers. Not all the Viet Cong who won medals were combat troops. Bong Van Dia received an award for trailing along behind supply columns, picking up rice and bullets that fell out of the packs. Ron Nesson, NBC News, Hong Kong.
The planned use of the University of California facilities at Berkeley as a base for an anti-war demonstration was criticized today by California Governor Ronald Reagan. He called it an intolerable situation, a flagrant violation of academic freedom, and a perversion of the function of universities. A small plane with three men aboard is missing on the first leg of a flight from Anchorage, Alaska to Oslo, Norway. It was to have flown the polar route in a bid to encourage other flyers to take that route as the safest and most direct between Alaska and Europe. Planes of both the U.S. and Canadian Air Forces are making a search. Former President Eisenhower was back in Washington today to observe his 77th birthday. The celebration was held in the Capitol instead of Gettysburg, so he could preside at a church cornerstone ceremony and attend a birthday luncheon given by some old political and military friends. Telegrams of birthday congratulations included one from President and Mrs. Johnson. The number of communist countries calling for a world meeting of communist parties as proposed by the Soviet Union rose to seven today, with the addition of Hungary and Czechoslovakia. But that leaves seven others either opposed to the idea or avoiding the proposal. Red China leads the opponents. An increase in cattle prices has pacified French farmers somewhat in their displeasure with the de Gaulle government's farm policies in general. But to guard against the possibility of new violence by the farmers, a heavy security force accompanied Premier Pompidou today as he made a tour of the country. And at the Vatican, the Catholic World Layman's Congress again concentrated on the birth control issue, demonstrating overwhelming sentiment in favor of making it a matter of individual choice for Catholic couples. Again, the top story, Washington reported convinced that it was Ernesto Che Guevara who was slain in Bolivia. Neil Boggs, NBC News, Washington.
Listen again on the hour for NBC Monitor News.
Metropolitan Area News next on The Conversation Station, WNBC AM New York. If you have a deal coming up in Phoenix, TWA offers the best deal in town. TWA has a new nonstop jet leaving every afternoon at 4:15. Next stop is Tucson. Call your travel agent or TWA at Oxford 5-6000. At 6 minutes past five, it's 56 degrees in New York City. This is Radcliffe Hall with the latest news of the metropolitan area. About 15 persons were forced to leave a theater district tenement in Midtown Manhattan today when a two-alarm fire broke out in the five-story building. Firemen brought the blaze under control in about 45 minutes, but a block-long section of West 47th Street between 7th and 8th Avenues were closed to traffic. No injuries were reported. Longshore operations on the Jersey Shore of the Port of New York returned to normal today after 4 days of turmoil over hiring practices by the Waterfront Commission. The work stoppage that began earlier this week was resolved yesterday when the commission reached a tentative agreement with the dock workers on seniority rules. New York Port Authority Director Austin Tobin disclosed today that the city plans to build a new heliport on the East River to handle intercity passenger helicopter traffic. Appearing on a TV news program, Tobin said the floor block-long heliport would be built on a site near the Eastside Airlines terminal. Two New York City men were arrested today in a South Carolina nightclub on charges of passing counterfeit money. They are 19-year-old Gary Graham and 35-year-old William Dunstan. The present temperature in New York is 56 degrees and it's cloudy, humidity 55%, the barometer's rising, winds are southeast at 8 miles an hour. Gradual clearing and not so cool tonight with lowest temperatures in the 50s. Fair tomorrow with a high around 70. Repeating the present temperature, 56 degrees, the time is 7.5 minutes past 5. And that's the news and weather to this moment. I'll be back with the next WNBC News report at 5:30. Bulletins are broadcast at once. This is Radcliffe Hall.
Hi ho, hey hey, chew your little troubles away. Hi ho, hey hey, chew Wrigley's spearmint gum. Work goes faster, smoother too. Life seems brighter when you chew. Hi ho, hey hey, chew Wrigley's spearmint gum. Get some soon.
Don't move, just leave your dial
out. Here's Monitor. Lean back and stay a while now. Here's Monitor. Monitor. Hello, this is Ed McMahon with Monitor 67, variety listening for your weekend entertainment. In just 2 minutes, with none other than the great Carl Yastrzemski of the Boston Red Sox sitting in for Mel Allen. Right now, Monitor Music. Lapland by the Baltimore and Ohio Marching Band. In one moment, Carl Yastrzemski, American League Triple Crown winner and Boston Red Sox World Series star, reports on Today in Sports. Dacron by DuPont, a man's way to stay neat with style, presents Monitor Sports.
Dacron, Dacron, box me 500.
Fine tailored Botany 500 clothing with Dacron at your favorite store now. At the Monitor Sports Desk right now, Carl Yastrzemski in person.
Thanks, Ed. Well, the baseball season is over, but the memory lingers on. My Red Sox boss, Dick Williams, got his reward today for leading the club to its first pennant since 1946, a new three-year contract. And the Washington Senators picked a Lemon, Jim Lemon, that is, as their new manager. No salary figures were announced, but it's believed Williams received about $50,000, a $20,000 raise, and believe me when I tell you he really deserved it, taking a club that finished one half game out of the American League cellar in 1966 into the World Series. Dick says all of his coaches, with exception of pitching coach Sal Magley, will be back next year. And he's got someone in his mind as replacement. Sal was a holdover from Billy Herman's reign as manager. Lemon, who has been first base coach for the Minnesota Twins since 1965, signed a two-year contract to manage Washington. He'll get an estimate $30,000, and he succeeded Gils Hodges, who you all know shifted to the New York Mets. Lemon was a popular, heavy-hitting outfielder for Washington from 1954 through 1960, before the old Senators moved to Minnesota. He's 39, once hit 38 home runs in a season, and closed out his playing career in 1963. Also up for grabs as manager, Twins coach Billy Martin. Well, maybe. Kansas City President Charlie Finley has requested permission to talk to Martin. He even got his unlisted phone number from the Twins. But so far, Billy says he hasn't heard from Finley. Some college football finals now. Second-ranked Purdue whipped Ohio State 41-6. Yale beat Brown 35-0. Dartmouth over Penn 25-0. Rutgers 29, Delaware 21. Western Michigan down Kent State 16-7. Ninth-ranked North Carolina State rolled over Maryland 31-10. The good folks up in Boston won't be happy about these scores. Buffalo 6, Boston University 0. Michigan State crushed Michigan at Ann Arbor 34-0. And get the size of this crowd, 103,210 people. Hamilton 28, Hobart 0. Villanova took the Quantico Marines 41-16. Cornell 47, Princeton 13. Harvard over Columbia 49-6. Bucknell edged Lehigh 14-13, Duke 13, Virginia 6, Navy 27, Syracuse, where Ed McMahon's daughter is going to school, 14.
Uh-oh. Sorry about that.
And Ed, your alma mater didn't do any better. Boston College, losing to Penn State 50-28. From the sound of it, my alma mater's not doing too good right now either. Florida State 17, South Carolina 0. Vermont and Rhode Island play to a scoreless tie. Idaho 19, Montana 14. Tennessee over Georgia Tech 24-13. Richmond 42, Furman 14. And get this, 8th-ranked Kansas was upset by Nebraska 10-0. There's a featherweight title fight in Mexico City tonight. At the weigh-in, champion Vicente Saldivar of Mexico scaled 125.5, one quarter of a pound more than challenger Howard Winstone of Wales, Salvador's favorite. Kentucky Derby winner Proud Clarion went to the post for the first time since June 3rd and finished 5th in a 6-horse field and a 6-furlong race at Aqueduct today. In golf, Arnold Palmer made one of his famous charges on the final 9 holes, 4 birdies and an eagle, to beat Australia's Peter Thompson, 1-up, in a 36-hole playoff for the Piccadilly World Match Play Championship in England. Palmer had rounds of 70 and 67 for an 11-under-par 137. Thompson shot a 70-69 for a total of 139. Victory was worth $14,000 to Arnie, And now you know why baseball players play golf every chance they get. Ed, did you hear anything on a Notre Dame score?
I think Notre Dame is still 24-7. They're losing, sadly. We're not doing too well today.
No, we're not. We'll go back to Boston.
Glad to have you here on Monitor. Thank you, Carl. Now here's Mel Allen for DuPont. Say, about that Botany 500 travel-tested wardrobe made with Dacron polyester, I want to tell you what the doctor ordered for traveling sports announcers. The very same. Yes, sir. You're ready for any weather, crazy or not, and any kind of occasion, crazy or not. So take it from old Mel, if you're going to do some traveling, go see the Botany 500 travel-tested wardrobe with Dacron and wear it in good health, will you?
You're in tune with Monitor at 17 minutes after the hour. In a few minutes more, we'll be visiting the historic mineral springs of Bath, England, dating back to the Roman occupation in the 8th century B.C. So don't go away. You're on the Monitor Beacon.
They're sworn to track down a subversive group called Stench. Don't worry, that carry-on gang is sure to botch it up. See Carry-On Spying, Sunday at 11:30.
That carry-on gang is back again. This time, they travel to Vienna to recover a secret formula. Watch Carry On Spying tomorrow night on WNBC TV, Channel 4, New York.
Professor, all right, let me respond to that for just a moment, if I may. When you find me a professor who can show me a specific case of which he has been the witness of an inaccurate, deliberately distorted casualty report from an American forces unit in Vietnam, I will cheerfully shake hands with that man and admit I am wrong. First, you're going to have to find me a professor who's bothered to get off the campus long enough to gather some evidence.
That's WNBC's evidence. You'll enjoy the provocative sounds of Brad Crandall. Weeknights from 9 to midnight on WNBC.
The Conversation Station, WNBC AM New York.
Ed McMahon for Monitor 67, starting off this segment with the voice of Petite Petula Clark, Fancy Dancing Man.
Fancy man, dancing man, who'd you think you're putting on? Understand, fancy man, you're nothing when the music's gone.
Perfume. All the girls want to go up on my elevator. Girls, girls, girls. And I used to go up half empty. Now suddenly I'm Mr. Elevator Operator. How come? I mean, I still wear the same old baggy uniform. And I still stop with a jerk. I mean, there's really nothing new about me except for my toothpaste. My toothpaste? That's it! The Ultra Bright Toothpaste. It's true. Ultra Bright gives your mouth sex appeal.
New Ultra Bright Toothpaste. A taste you can really feel. New Ultra Bright gives your mouth sex appeal.
New Ultra Bright Toothpaste. A taste so wildly refreshing, you know your breath is the freshest. Your teeth the brightest. That's sex appeal. And that's Ultra Bright.
It's true. After Ultra Bright, everything else is just toothpaste.
You're on the go with Monitor, your music and information center.
Want to know how to spark a dull evening? Tonight, why not take in a good gas station? Pop over to Citgo, have a few gallons, enjoy yourself, kick a few tires. You see, at Citgo, we know what a pain in the neck just waiting around can be. So we've made Citgo a little brighter, a little cozier than the ordinary gas station. Tonight, take in a Citgo station.
You may not want to live there, but it's a nice place to visit.
Bath, England is the site of historic Roman mineral baths which go back to the 8th century before Christ. 10 centuries passed between their construction and their revival as one of the most popular and significant tourist attractions in present-day Great Britain. On the scene, this tour guide chatted with Monitor reporter Candy Jones.
Freddie, I wonder if you would tell us a bit about the Roman baths. I'm about to take the tour, and could you tell me what I'm going to see and when they started and so forth?
Yes, in fact, the foundation of the history of the Roman baths goes back to the 8th century B.C., before the Romans arrived. The ancient Britons knew of this bath. We know for sure about the period of 800, things that have been found. When they arrived, instead of just using it as an open bath, as it was, they decided to enclose it with the Roman architecture. Now, what you see downstairs is really not just one bath, but a series of baths which are fed by a main hot spring.
Now, this would be mineral water, mineral hot spring.
This is a mineral hot spring, which people don't only just come to see, but actually to use. There's thousands of people a year are brought here from various hospitals to be treated for various disorders, stomach and rheumatic disorders.
I wonder if it's a bit similar to Saratoga Springs in America or Hot Springs.
Yes, Hot Springs, but there are only two, as far as we know, in Great Britain. But this one, of course, has been in use so long. Then when the Saxons invaded us, they smashed and destroyed and pillaged the town. Well, then the whole thing was forgotten until around about 1610, 1620, when the baths were excavated and put up to their present-day use. We owe a great deal to two men, Woods and Nash, and these two men really recreated what had, of course, been the glory of ancient Rome in trying to give the cultural background, trying to give the relaxed background. That's why when you go downstairs, you say it must have taken a long time to take a bath.
Yes, well, how long did it take, roughly?
Well, when the Romans came to bathe, it was practically a whole day affair. They had their entertainment here. They took the bath. There was a sweat bath as well as the ordinary plunge. There was a swimming bath.
Wouldn't that be similar to the Turkish bath?
Very similar, but in fact, it takes the modern Turkish bath takes about the same time, 3 or 4 hours, as a Roman bath took. Mm-hmm. And they were spotlessly clean when they came away from this. Pumice powder and oils were fit into a curious-shaped thing that looked like an elongated spoon. And when you'd sweated and your body had sweated, they scraped this over the body so all the impurities were literally scraped off your body. And it's a method of cleansing which is perfectly simple and yet very, very efficient. And they used it here.
Well, Freddie Brampton, I've enjoyed speaking with you, and I would like to get down to the Roman bath, so I'm going to say thank you so much on behalf of our Monitor audience.
Thank you very, very much. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. This is Candy Jones, on location in England for Monitor.
I see trees of green. I see them blue for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue. Blessed day, the dark say goodnight, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, much more than I never knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Louis Armstrong, what a wonderful world.
5 years ago, a great discovery for acid indigestion, heartburn, and gas was introduced to doctors. Now it's your turn.
Well, it's about time. I have indigestion and heartburn whenever I eat too well.
Think of the future. It's going to be swell, thanks to Digel.
Digel?
That's the name. Look, this is your plain white antacid tablet. It neutralizes excess acid. Digel's different. It's white and yellow. The white layer neutralizes excess acid, and the yellow layer contains simethicone, an extra ingredient that helps break up stomach gas, too. Digel comes in tablets and liquid at all drug counters.
Someone in your family have a muscle strain? Try the Mustero massage. This exclusive therapy relaxes muscle strain as it rubs out pain, stimulates circulation as it speeds warming relief to pain and stiffness. Mustero relaxes muscle strain as it rubs out pain. Mustero.
Now more monitored music. Here's one that was a big hit for Dean Martin. This version by King Richard's Flugel Knights. Lay some happiness on me. Listening to Monitor 67, where you stay in the know, on the go, wherever you may be in the USA. If you're in the area of central Pennsylvania, you can hear us on WRAK Williamsport. Hello, Williamsport. Now let's take a roll call of all our NBC stations all along the line, and then we'll be right back.
Republican Governor George Romney of Michigan will meet the press tomorrow on the NBC Radio Network.
Dial in for dialogue. Call Brad Crandall at Plaza 7 8866. Weeknights at 9 on The Conversation Station, WNBC AM New York.
While you drive, it's NBC. Monitor on NBC.
This is Ed McMahon, your host for Monitor 67, going places, meeting interesting people. One of them is William Bradford Huey, who has written a new book called The Klansman, a novel about the violence and strife that has accompanied racial integration in this country. We'll hear from him in about 3 minutes. Right now, here's Monitor Music.
Happened yesterday, yet it seems you came my way before. Darling, I swear I felt your lips on mine at least 1,000 times or more. Darling, we walked in the sun and we laughed when it rained on our dreams. And now it's all coming true. I've got you, girl. No wonder it seems.
Dana, a lifetime loving you.
$980,000, $950,000 finished. Wow, what a day. You'd think I was the only girl that worked in this bank. All the men line up at my window. So what's the big attraction? I mean, how good could I look in this cage? Nothing's new except for my toothpaste. The Ultra Bright toothpaste! Of course, that's it! It works! Ultra Bright gives your mouth sex appeal! New Ultra Bright toothpaste, a taste you can really feel. New Ultra Bright gives your mouth sex appeal.
New Ultra Bright toothpaste, a taste so wildly refreshing, you know your breath is the freshest, your teeth the brightest. That's sex appeal, and that's Ultra Bright.
You know it. After Ultra Bright, everything else is just toothpaste.
This past week, the trial of 18 Mississippians for the so-called Klan assassination of three civil rights workers got underway in Meridian, Mississippi. The activities of the Ku Klux Klan and the violence and terror of their tactics form the background of a new novel titled The Klansman by journalist William Bradford Huey. Mr. Huey is a Southerner who has traveled widely in the North and who feels that Klan reaction to racial integration has become a nationwide problem. He was interviewed for Monitor by Dick Westerkamp.
Mr. Huey, why does the Klan continue in the South?
Continues for this reason. A large number of white, particularly poorer white men, need to feel superior to Negro people. Therefore, we have the doctrine of white supremacy. And now that Negroes are being given equal opportunities with them, the Klan has used terrorism now since 1954 to try to prevent racial change. The Klansman is a novel about terrorism. It's about the white effort to prevent racial change, the white use of rape, murder, arson. More than 100 murders have been committed in the South by Klansmen and Klan sympathizers, deliberately committed to try to prevent racial change.
Well, you're a Southerner who's traveled in the North. Is the Klan effect moving north?
Yes. Last week in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, one of the several Klans had a convention, Robert Shelton's group, and they had about 40 states represented there. And Michigan was well represented. There must have been a dozen cars with Michigan license plates at that convention. And two men, from one from Ohio and one from Indiana, are now on the board of directors of that particular National Klan organization. And they have money now that they've never had before, because they're getting contributions from people who have been made afraid by the Negro riots. Whenever you see Negro racists, Negro extremists on television saying, burn the city down and we hate all whites, this is an answer to a Klan organizer's prayer, because the Klan organizer can take that picture and raise money, and then he can also recruit members. So the Klans now have a new youth organization, and they have a national organization. They have their own candidate for president. And they are expecting to be very important politically in the United States in the elections of 1968.
How do you think that candidate's going to do in 1968?
Well, he expects to get more votes from the Detroit police than he will get from the Birmingham police. He expects to get at least 20% of the votes cast in the city of Detroit. And he thinks that he will get at least 16% of the total vote cast in the state of Michigan.
Has he said that, or is this your opinion?
No, I didn't hear him say it, but this is his organization says this. People who are close to him say that, and this is part of their planning. Certainly, Wallace, no matter who says it, I'll say it, will get far more votes than any third-party candidate has ever gotten in the United States. This is a huge movement. Wallace himself believes that wherever you find six white people gathered, that at least one of them secretly fears Negro advancement. So we have a political movement that is based on the idea of white supremacy, the idea that Negroes are more animal-like, more bestial than white men, and that Negroes, therefore, must not be assimilated into American society. They must be segregated and treated differently than whites. Now, Wallace believes this. The Klan believes it. This is doctrine with them. And a great number of people in the state of Michigan believe it. About one, at least one out of six, and maybe one out of five.
William Bradford Huey, author of the grim but fascinating new novel, The Klansman.
In the morning while the world was sleeping, in semi-consciousness, I dreamed that I was holding you. Yesterday the world was morning.
Curse Singers. Ahead, a visit with our social satirist, Al Capp, in defense of radio as an entertainment medium. So stay with us. You're on the Monitor Beacon. Ed McMahon from Monitor 67. Now, here's a listening reminder. Later today on Monitor, your host, Ted Steele, will feature interviews with Peggy Lee, who doesn't think she has much sex appeal. Where do I line up for the protest march? And with Steve Allen, who explains why so much professional humor is Jewish. And with Ray Scherer, who is spending a day with ex-President Eisenhower on the occasion of his 77th birthday. There'll be another conversation with NBC newsman Howard Tuckner about the current situation in Vietnam as well. So be sure to listen later today on Monitor. Now here's that aforementioned Peggy Lee to sing, I Feel It.
Going on.
news, folks. The McMahon family has sworn off the bottle. Well, we're off of bottled shampoos, anyway. Instead, we're using Breck Concentrate Shampoo, which comes in a plastic tube. And because you can't break a plastic tube, that makes it a good, safe choice for a family bathroom. What's more, we like it. The whole McMahon family says it's good stuff. And as a matter of fact, you ought to try it. Breck Concentrate Shampoo. Time. Next, our satiric observer of the social scene, Al Capp, has some spirited words to say in defense of our medium, radio.
One of the reasons that so many of the celebrated authorities on American opinion are so frequently embarrassed to find they haven't the slightest clue as to what Americans are really thinking is that so many of them live and work in the New York area and send out their opinions from there. One of the generally accepted opinions arrived at and sent out to the rest of the country from New York is that nobody much listens to radio. Now, I'd like to take some of those experts on American opinion out of New York with me on my lecture tours to Nebraska, to Texas, to Indiana, to Missouri, to Arkansas, Illinois, Michigan, and let them listen to the questions from those audiences. Now, my cartoon, Lil Abner, appears in over 1,000 newspapers in this country. I turn up with alarming frequency on television. 2 or 3 times a year, I do articles for mass circulation magazines. And yet, something like 8 out of every 10 questions asked me by audiences from the floor begin this way. Mr. Capp, I once heard you say on radio that, and then the question comes. Now, all of these people have TV sets. They all read magazines, and every one of them reads 1 or 2 newspapers. But they're constant companions, the companion of the American housewife at home, and housewives who don't live in New York spend a spectacular amount of time at home, and what's even odder, they like it. And the companion of their husbands, who spend more time in their cars than New Yorkers and who work in fewer offices and more shops than husbands do in New York, their constant companion, their major source of entertainment, news, and opinion is the forgotten radio. No, America hasn't forgotten radio. It's those who tell America what other Americans are listening to who have forgotten to listen to them. And this is Al Capp giving you a totally forgotten bit of news on NBC's Monitor.
Excedrin headache number 48, the broken TV.
Turn on the set. It's time for the bum, 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 bum. My favorite team. What a game. What a series. Yeah. Turn it on, dear.
It's on.
Well, there's no picture on the set, dear.
Whatever you see is what you're going to see. That's a cheap set. It fell right off the table yesterday when I was dusting.
This set... Now, wait a minute. Now you tell me at 1 minute or two, you tell me that this set just fell off the table while you were dusting. How can a 600-pound floor model with a built-in stereo radio fall on the floor? What were you dusting with, a bulldozer?
Oh, you've got a headache.
I've got an Excedrin headache.
Oh.
A double-header Excedrin headache. What's that?
Life is full of Excedrin headaches. That's why you want Excedrin Strength. Tablet for tablet, 50% stronger than aspirin for relief of headache pain. For Excedrin headaches, get Excedrin Relief.
If the day win and I don't know it, I'm open the window. Maybe I can see the ballpark from here.
On the Monitor scoreboard, some college football finals. Top-ranked USC knocked off fifth-ranked Notre Dame, 24-7. Minnesota 10, Illinois 7. Iowa State 17, Kansas State nothing. VMI 22, the Citadel 11. Auburn 43, Clemson 21. Pittsburgh 13, Wisconsin 11. New Hampshire 17, Maine nothing. Holy Cross 17, Colgate nothing. Lafayette 17, Washington and Lee 6. Texas 9, Oklahoma 7. Toledo 33, Bowling Green nothing. Albright 33, Gettysburg nothing. Springfield 41, Colby 7. And at Aqueduct, the $179,000 Champagne Stakes went to Vitriolic, trailed by Iron Ruler and Captain's Gig. Jankowski, a man and a woman. You've been listening to Monitor 67. I'm your host, Ed McMahon, reminding you that NBC News on the Hour is just ahead.
Keep tuned. The latest news now is on the air. Keep tuned for sports and views now.